stand to honor the words of our Savior himself. As we hear the words of the Holy Gospel, which is written in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. The kingdom of God keeps growing. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, Jesus said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. And when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. The Gospel of the Lord. Nearby was the lake. Calm, beautiful blue, the waves lapping at the shoreline. It was the quiet time of the day, we're told, evening, probably around sunset. Earlier that day, a huge crowd had been pressing against the shoreline and listening, but now it was just a handful. A group small enough where they could ask their questions. And seated before them, the greatest teacher of all, Jesus with the 12 and a few others, were told. A situation that was ready-made for learning. It was in circumstances like that that Jesus would teach with parables. He wouldn't say anything to them, Mark tells us, without using an illustration. So he would talk about the Good Samaritan, or tell them the parable of the rich man and the tax collector. Remember those? Or he would tell about the wasteful young son who came rushing home and found his father's arms open and welcoming. Or talk about the lost coin or the lost sheep. On this particular occasion, on this particular evening, Jesus told two parables that essentially make the same point. Two parables that teach how the kingdom of God keeps growing. For those followers of Jesus who think that the only thing worthwhile is what you accomplish with your own efforts, or for those of us who sometimes despair and worry and get pessimistic about what God is doing among us in this sinful world, the master teacher has a correction. He sets our hearts straight for faith and for faithful service when he teaches how the kingdom of God keeps growing all by itself, and from the smallest beginnings. Remember what the scriptures teach about the kingdom of God? It was one of Jesus' favorite topics. God's kingdom is when God is overcoming the devil and the devil's lies with the truth. God's kingdom is when he rules to rescue sinners like you and me. God's kingdom is when he shows grace and mercy. When you think of the kingdom of God, don't think of a place. Don't think of something you can put on a map with borders and a castle in the middle and armies that are guarding its territory. No, the kingdom of God is activity. It's when God reigns through His Word to save people. Although maybe that even makes it a little too complicated. Nobody can talk about the kingdom of God better than Jesus. And the way He does it today is He tells this little story about a long ago farmer out in his field. He's out in his field and he's got his bag of seeds slung over his shoulder. And as he walks carefully through the field, one handful at a time, he scatters seed. And then he does other things. Maybe he goes and he milks his two cows and feeds his sheep and mends a fence that day. Then he goes to bed and he gets up in the morning and he does other tasks around his farm. A week or two later, he goes out into his field, and where he had scattered that seed, now there's these little green shoots that have poked through the surface. But there's really nothing that he's doing yet. He goes and he does his other tasks on his farm, and he goes back out a couple weeks later, and now those little shoots have become stalks, and they're sending out leaves. You might pull a weed here or there, but otherwise, the field is growing all by itself. Eventually, he goes out, and he sees that the stalks have formed little kernels of grain on the head, and when the time is ready, and the harvest is ripe, he goes out with his sickle and he gathers it in, because the seed grows all by itself. And that is how the kingdom of God grows. When the seed is scattered, God's kingdom grows of its own power all by itself. Just a little while ago, we read part of the account of Jonah. What everybody remembers about Jonah is he was that poor fellow that during the storm they threw him off the boat, and then a great fish swallowed him and deposited him safely on dry land. What many don't remember about Jonah is he was an unwilling kingdom worker. God had commissioned Jonah to go and preach to the wicked city of Nineveh, but Jonah didn't want to. It was while he was running in the other direction to get away from that responsibility that God sent the storm, and then he sent the great fish to put him back on task. Eventually, Jonah did go to the great city of Nineveh, and he scattered the seed. He preached, but his heart wasn't in it. He didn't want this wicked city, the enemy of his own people, to repent of their wickedness, because he didn't want God to show mercy to them. But he scattered the seed, he preached the word, and we're told the Ninevites believed God. They gave up their evil ways and their violence, and God had compassion, and he showed mercy on them. Because when the seed is scattered, the kingdom of God grows all by itself. I'm told that my mother was carrying me in her arms. She couldn't do that nowadays. But at the time, I was only about this long, and I weighed less than 8 pounds. She doesn't remember whether I was awake or sleeping, whether I was crying or not. I certainly don't. But that day, a pastor scattered the seed. He proclaimed that this was a baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He applied water in keeping with Jesus' instructions, and God began to rule. He planted the seed of faith where there was no faith previous to that. He planted faith in His Son, Jesus, though I never could have explained it or understood it. He forgave my sins, and He joined me to Jesus forever. When you were baptized, God's kingdom began to grow. Not because you understood it, not because you wanted it or you prayed for it or you worked so hard for it. God's kingdom grew all by itself. And then as the years went by, maybe you sat at one of those little miniature Sunday school tables, or in your desk in your Lutheran school, or at your kitchen table at home, or here you sat in a pew, and a pastor or a teacher or a parent scattered the seed, proclaimed the word. They announced to you how God has sacred and holy commandments that set a standard so high, His you shall and you shall not, a standard so high and holy that none of us can reach it. And they told you that God does not abide with those who disobey His will. But they scattered the seed also of the good news that that's why God sent His Son Jesus, and that Jesus died for you, a holy sacrifice for you on the cross, and that He rose and that He intercedes for you so that God is working in everything for your everlasting good. They scattered the seed, and the kingdom grew. Not by your own thinking or choosing, not because you were praying so hard at the time or because you were so faithful and good in all that you did. When the seed was scattered, God's kingdom grew all by itself. Jesus taught us to pray for that. He taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." You realize with those three words, what we're asking is for God to come and do His saving work where people are resisting, where minds are hostile to Him. We're asking God to come and do His saving work and forgive those who could never ask for forgiveness or deserve to ask for it. We're asking God to do His saving work in our hearts and then to do a powerful takeover in the hearts of many, many others, including those who don't yet know Him yet. Your kingdom come is the prayer we pray that indicates we are not pessimists about God's work among us. We're not grumpy and grouchy about the success of the Word in the world. We're not looking upon the world as a lost cause because God is working in the world through His Word. And wherever the seed is scattered, God's kingdom is going to grow and souls are going to grow in Christ and become His own for eternity. Because the seed grows by itself. The famous rabbi had this little group gathered by the side of the lake. It was evening, but it still wasn't time to go to bed. Still was an opportunity to teach. So he sort of thought aloud. Jesus said to himself, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? What illustration can we use? How about this one? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds you plant on the ground. Yet when planted, it becomes the largest of all the garden plants so that the birds of the air can find shade in its branches." There you go. That's what God's reign is like. That's what His kingdom is like. The kingdom is a kingdom that keeps growing from the smallest beginnings. Who would have thought that the King of Grace, the Savior of the world, would come from little Israel. Who would have thought that God would have passed by all the mighty civilizations and all the great empires, all those kingdoms that changed the course of human events, and that he would decide the King of Grace would come from the fourth tribe, from a tiny remnant of that fourth tribe of Israel? Who would have thought that the king that the prophets foretold would be born in a stable? And that he would grow up in a carpenter's household in little Nazareth? Who would have thought that after he had accomplished his work of living in keeping with God's commands for us, and then dying on the cross, and then rising, and then ascending to the right hand of the Father, who would have thought that after all that, the number of his followers around Jerusalem was around 120? But who would have thought that in one day, as those sons and daughters of the king proclaimed the word, on one Pentecost Sunday, the number would grow to 3,000. And then from the mustard seed, it would grow to 5,000 and beyond. Who would have thought that as the sons and daughters of the King of Grace went out into the world, someday the good news would be spoken in every language, on every continent? And who would have thought that today the number of those who follow Jesus the Savior is a number greater than we can count? Except that the kingdom of God is like a little mustard seed, which when planted, it becomes the largest of all the garden plants. A young lady dates a young man. And already on the second date, she's having these little conversations with him about the peace that she has because Jesus is her Savior. And as their relationship unfolds, she has more little conversations with him, with that young man, about the hope that she has in Jesus, even when things aren't going so well. And the Holy Spirit from the seed that is scattered goes to work, and that young man becomes a confessing Christian man, becomes a husband who learns to imitate the love of Jesus, becomes a father who shares the faith with his children, with his grandchildren. The kingdom of God grows from the smallest beginnings. A little boy learns how to give little offerings and pray little boy prayers for missionaries. And other little boys and other little girls learn to do the same. And in a faraway place, a well-supported missionary boldly trains men to be pastors. And they, in turn, they go out and evangelize and they baptize and they proclaim the word of the work of Christ, and the kingdom grows where otherwise you would think the people would not have been hearing about the mercy of Jesus. The kingdom of God keeps growing from the smallest beginnings. You yourself, one little individual, made alive by the Holy Spirit at the baptismal font. The seed sprouted and grew and was watered and tended to by parents who loved the truth. Pastors and teachers continued to throw the seed into your life as you gained confidence in the truth of Jesus, as you became more bold, as you became such a one who is a friend to the friendless, who works an honest job, who serves the Lord in what she does and how he talks, And the kingdom continues to grow in your life as you become such a one who prays for others and who shares with them and who ultimately testifies to them about the goodness of God. And the Lord accomplishes that. And He is glorified. You might be able to put it this way. Birds fly, fish swim, and when the seed of God's word is scattered, the kingdom of God grows all by itself from the smallest beginnings. Amen. Please stand. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.